When I was in college, after my first year, I lived off campus in a row of townhouses. And it was there that I, one night in May, witnessed a fight next door and was subsequently summoned to testify as to what I had seen. The Commonwealth's attorney asked me to bear witness. It was dinner time, and I was making some supper, and I heard a scuffle outside. And I went to the door to see my next-door neighbor, another college student, tussling with a kid who looked to me to be 12 or 13. In the midst of the struggle, my classmate and neighbor struck the kid over the head with a Pyrex measuring cup, which he had brought to the fight and which brought the fight to an end. Somehow, the police turned up, and my classmate accused the kid of trying to light some shrubbery abutting his house on fire. The police took down my name, and I was asked to come to court. Well, I duly turned up, and I was ready. I wondered if they'd require me to raise my right hand and ask me, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" Or was that just on TV? And even though I was sure of what I saw, I understood that there might be others who would challenge my testimony. People saw the same event from different angles. The kid's older brother got there a few minutes after the scuffle and started acting like he'd seen the whole thing. But I knew what I saw, and I planned to tell what I saw. You see, I was a witness. John the Baptist, the first person we meet in the story of Jesus in the Gospel of John, is called a witness. We're preparing for Christmas, but you can't get to Christ until you first meet John and hear his witness. John bears witness to a great light that has dawned into a darkened world. John isn't the light. He is the one who points to the light, who testifies on behalf of the light. The light needs a witness. As the days for the trial grew closer, I got increasingly nervous. I saw what I saw, and I was convinced of the truth of my story, but still, to have to stand before a judge and a whole courtroom and tell what I saw, well, it was a little intimidating. I'd seen courtroom dramas on TV, and I know that a court rarely just sits there and takes what a witness says at face value. There are cross-examinations, questions, challenges to the testimony of the witness. It's one thing to tell the story of what you saw to the cop on the beat. It's another thing to stand up in the middle of a skeptical courtroom and tell all. But still, they said they needed my witness if they were going to get to the truth of what happened and reach a verdict. After I gave my testimony to the judge, he would surely have to decide whether I was telling the truth and if my story squared with the facts. Testimony has that quality about itself. It demands a verdict. A witness, like me, through testimony, shines a light on things. I might like to have done the whole thing in private in the judge's chambers, but you can't do that. To be a witness is a public act. In today's scripture from John, God is going public. The Word becoming flesh is no private matter. And a witness named John points to that event. And the witness forces a verdict from the public. The light coming into the darkness challenges things, brings things to light, sets a new world in motion. But the light needs someone to point to the light. Someone who has the courage to stand up and say, "There it is," or, "Look, over there, do you see what I've seen?" What if the court didn't believe me? What if my version of events was challenged? I thought it might be because I was going to say that I had seen the boy in the bushes earlier that evening. That's the truth I had to tell. John's gospel portrays John the Baptist as a witness, a voice who gives testimony to what is about to happen, to the one who is about to come. Yet John says that though this one be the light, the world will not know him. As I said, we don't have a secret trial. A trial is held in a public place because the public, the world, has a stake in the outcome of the trial. The purpose of going to trial is to get to the truth of the matter. And everybody has a stake in what's true. In order to reach the truth, we must have a witness come and stand and testify. Now, the witness is much like everyone else in the courtroom, except for one thing. He or she is placed on the stand because the witness has seen something, and the witness is willing to stand up and tell the truth about it. As we say, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The court isn't interested in the personality or the character of the witness. What the court cares about is the truth. It's the event that makes you a witness. Of course, if the witness lies, bears false witness, then the court cannot get at the truth. So a lying witness is a serious matter. The court is quite dependent upon a witness to gain access to the truth. The whole point of the witness is to tell the truth. What the witness believes to be true is part of the evidence. When the witness is forced by the truth to deliver an unpopular truth, then the witness may suffer as a result of the testimony by the witness. And here I please want you to note that the New Testament word for witness is martyr. Still, it's clear that the witness is always subordinate to what is witnessed. All a witness really does is point to something that's happened and say, "There it is. I saw it. Can you see it?" I preach here not because I need to get something off my chest, although some of you have accused me of that, but because God wants to say something to God's people. Sometimes in a small group, I'm invited to just share what's on my heart. But that's not testimony. An ordained spokesman for the gospel, as such, I am not free to engage in self-indulgence. Left to my own devices, I might say what I was really thinking. But the church can care less about what I'm thinking. The pressing question is, what have I seen? Down through the dim, dark, distant ages, the world has awaited God. We tried to do it for ourselves, but we couldn't. We failed at all of our attempts to save ourselves by ourselves. Then, on a night in Bethlehem, a star shone. A light broke into the darkness. There was a song, and now there is a witness. "Look at him," John says. "The light that we have been awaiting, the Lamb of God who will take away our sins, that very presence of God among us, with us, beside us, for us." The gospel story is, in fact, full of witnesses if you look for them. After Jesus encounters the woman at the well, John's gospel tells us, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And that first Easter at the tomb, the angel was commissioned by the women to go back to Jerusalem and testify to the apostles what she had heard and found, or not found, out at the cemetery. "Go tell the men that he's already gone back to Galilee, and there you will meet him." You see, when it comes to good news, it seems that testimony is needed. That great late Bishop Leslie Newbegin put it this way: how is it possible that the gospel should be credible, that people should come to believe the power which has had the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? I'm suggesting the only answer is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. You see, Newbegin is saying, testimony is needed. Will you stand up and tell the world that story? Will you, wherever you are planted, testify in all that you say and do to Christ's power to know you, like the woman at the well, or that Christ has gone ahead, like the women at the tomb? Will you testify, like John, that the light has dawned? I was struck after I preached the sermon at 8 o'clock, a number of people asked me about the trial that I'd been involved in. None of them stopped and told me about an occasion when they had shared the truth of what Jesus had done with them. People, testimony is needed. For the Christ who is born among us is not only a gift. This Christ is an assignment. He is the light of lights, but he needs witnesses. Somebody whose whole life says to the world, "Look, do you see what I've seen?" At this time of year, somebody always inevitably asks the sentimental question, "If you can keep Christmas for one day of the year, why not keep it in your heart every day of the year?" But you see, we are witnesses. We're not supposed to keep Christmas in our hearts. We're supposed to give it away. We're supposed to tell what happened, how the world has changed now that God is with us. In fact, in a moment, you will be asked to say the Nicene Creed, and you will stand as if you were before a court, the court of the world, and you will swear to tell the whole truth, or at least as much of it as you've been given. Will you, with John, be a witness to the light? I wonder.